Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. And together, we, of course, wish you a very, very Merry Christmas as we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We'd like for you to be a part of the broadcast today, and you can do that by calling right now, 844-322-2742. Whether in the U.S. or Canada, that's toll-free, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Just a program note for next week. You know, a lot of people experience depression and anxiety and low times during holiday seasons.
Absolutely.
And we want to speak to that next week and offer some hope and an encouragement from the Word of God. So next week, if you have friends that normally, you know, find the holiday season a very tough time of the year, they need some help, some encouragement, point them to Basic Gospel. We're going to have some wonderful discussions about how to overcome some of the emotions, those negative emotions that we experience, even going to talk about depression and how we can overcome depression, how the truth of the gospel can really give us a solid foundation for life. And can give us some hope and encouragement when we need it the most.
Yeah.
We also have some resources we're going to be sharing next week. So I think next week is going to be a wonderful, wonderful set of programs. So be sure and tune in. Tell your friends about the program next week. And we're just going to have a great time, and I hope many people will find help and encouragement through those broadcasts. This week, we've been talking about the Christmas story from an eternal perspective. You know, we get so focused on, you know, 2,000 years ago, that time in Bethlehem. But this is a story that's been in the mind of God since before the foundation of the world. Christ has always existed back in Bethlehem around 4 BC. That wasn't when he came into being. He has always been. That was just the point that he became flesh and blood. And so we're going to take a look at a passage this week that's one of my favorites. It's hard for me to get away from this, especially when I think about Christmas. It's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 10. And if you've never read this or you've never really paid attention to this section of the Word of God, I encourage you to go and get your Bible today and really look this up and actually read the entire chapter of chapter 10. I mean, it is just one of the most powerful chapters in all the Word of God. So a little bit of the backstory of the book of Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews is basically writing a series of comparisons and contrast. So he takes all of the things that are most important in Judaism and he just lines them up chapter after chapter after chapter. And he says, we're gonna talk about what those meant and how important those were as far as Judaism is concerned. And then we're going to compare and contrast those to Jesus. And we're going to show that Jesus is superior in all ways and that everything that he has brought to the table is far superior to everything that was in Judaism. And here in chapter 10, he really brings this to a head when he says, "For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities." So what he's basically saying is that everything in Judaism, as important as it was to Judaism, it served a greater purpose in foreshadowing the person and work of Jesus Christ. So those things weren't the reality. So like the sacrifices that were made under the Mosaic covenant, the sacrifices of bulls and goats and all the other daily sacrifices that they would bring to the temple, they had a purpose for the people of that day, but they had a greater purpose in pointing us forward to the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The covenant, that Mosaic covenant, it had a wonderful purpose for the people of Israel, but it wasn't the reality of what God had in mind for his people. The people who would be with him forever. That's the new covenant. So this new covenant that we live in today is superior. It's better because it has better promises. Well, Jesus is superior to the priesthood because of who he is, the power of an indestructible life. And so here in chapter 10, we see that all these things that were shadows have found their fulfillment, their reality in Christ Jesus. So those sacrifices of old, they can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sin? But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin every year.
Yeah.
That's not a good reminder. We want a reminder that it's done, that it's finished, that it's over, that God remembers our sins no more. And that's what we have in Christ Jesus. He goes on in verse 4, "For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world." So here's a verse that has the assumption that Christ has always been, and then at a point in time he came into our world. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me, and burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." So when Christ came into the world, he came into the world to carry out the will of his Father on our behalf. We read in 1 Peter earlier this week that Christ was made manifest in these last times for your sake. Well, what does that mean? The writer of Hebrews gives us an answer: to carry out the will of God on our behalf. What was the will of God? This was it: to abolish the first covenant in order to establish the second. And then in verse 10, "And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." What has Jesus done? He has sanctified us. He has set us apart. He has made us holy in the sight of God. So when Jesus entered this world, he inhabited a body that God had prepared for him, and he inhabited that body to carry out the will of God the Father on our behalf, to take away the first covenant and establish a new covenant, and to make us holy in the sight of God. That's a good why for Christmas, isn't it?
That is great news. That's the news you hear each day on Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, my name is Bob Davis. We're glad you're with us. If you have a question you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, Richard, I know that our listeners hear Bob and me talk about the need for support for this ministry on an ongoing basis, and it's been very, very generous this year. And I just kind of like to get your perspective as a very vital part of this ministry. What does it mean to you to see the generosity that our listeners have exhibited?
Well, it's very simple, actually. The generosity of our partners, Basic Gospel Nation, the people who support this, make it possible for us to give this story to millions of people around the world.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not millions of people every day listening, but this has impact around the world. And what better story to hear than Jesus showed up according to God's plan, according to his own plan, mm-hmm. if you want to put it that way, to take away sins and to bring life back to the dead. That's worth supporting. That's worth hearing. It's certainly worth it for us to continue teaching this day after day after day. And this is about reaching people. You never know when someone's going to listen to this program for the first time one day because God's brought it to them and they hear hope for the first time in their lives.
Yeah.
A guy I've gotten to know on the phone over the past couple of weeks, is a teacher, preacher at a very small town in eastern Kansas. And he had a lady come up to him the other day and say, "I grew up in El Salvador. There's been more things that I've seen and had happen to me than any woman anywhere, any time in history should have had happen. But this is the first time somebody told me it wasn't my fault." She heard hope in the grace of God, in the story of Jesus, and it changed her life on the spot. That's the kind of people we're ministering to.
Yeah.
As the guy who taught her learned it from us, and now he's teaching it to others, and they're teaching it to others, and it just spreads like wildfire. Okay? That's why you support. And the fact that we only need $157,000 this year is awesome.
Yeah.
In previous years, we've needed $250,000, $300,000, and for a ministry our size, it takes your breath away. But this, because of your generosity, means we can end this year more easily and more ready to step into 2018 than we've ever done in the past. And that's exciting.
That is.
And you folks make it possible. If you give, you'll get a copy of this book, When God Tore the Curtain. Jeannie Thompson doesn't work here anymore, but she works here all the time.
That's right.
Yeah. But she wrote this. It's thin. If you can see on the camera, it's thin, but it's succinct and powerful because she tells the story of Jesus in only the way she can. And I highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. Get this book. Bob, give them the information on how to do it.
When God Tore the Curtain, it's available to you as you make your gift this month before the end of the month to Basic Gospel. Simply go online to basicgospel.net, click that prominent donate button, or you can call anytime, 24 hours a day, week in, week out, 844-322-2742, and make your gift. Join us in this partnership that we call Basic Gospel. Again, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go down to Temple, Texas, and talk to Duran. Hi, Duran. Welcome.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
It's going well, my friend. How about you?
Going good. You know, I listened to one of your sermons, and I like that. I think it was a hard passage sermon talking about Matthew 7, speaking about false prophets, and not all who call me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, I never looked at that passage, you know, as you were saying, you was looking at it in context. Who Jesus was talking about. And I know that at the end, Jesus tells them, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And a key verse to that, he says, "I never knew you." It's not that he knew you at one time and didn't know you no more. He said, "I never knew you," because they weren't producing, you know, spiritual fruits. They were producing evil fruits. They weren't born again. And I was trying to see, because I know the scripture says a good tree produces good fruits, but it cannot produce bad fruits. But I know us humans, you know, sometimes we do things out of our own, you know, motives. We don't always, you know, abide in Christ. It doesn't mean that Christ has left us or anything. It's just we have to abide in him and let him produce the spiritual fruits in us.
That's right.
So, I was just, you know, kind of confirming that, because correct me if I'm wrong, but I was just kind of confirming that, because I got that sermon that you was doing. I want to teach on that in a couple of weeks, so I like that. So I just want to say thank you for that.
Well, but, you're welcome, Duran, and that's I think you bring out two things that are very important for us to understand. Is you never want to pull one single verse out and just look at that one single verse. You know, that's sometimes the problem with memorizing just verses of scripture. We memorize them out of context, and so we make them say something that they're not really saying when we put them back into context. So for example, this Matthew chapter 7 verse 23, a lot of people have memorized that, many legalists, and they use it as a hammer to tell people they can lose salvation. Well, that's not what the verse says at all in context. The verse in context is speaking to false prophets. Well, if a person is a false prophet, they're not a believer. They're not connected to the vine of Christ Jesus. So their roots are going into something else. And the result of that is the fruit is not so good. And so they're going to argue one day before God himself and say, look at all the things that we did in your name. Well, if you notice that, their argument is based on their works. Look at all that we have done. They don't have anywhere in that argument, look at what Christ has done.
Christ has done, right.
So that's that determines kind of their spirituality. That determines where they are. They're not in Christ. They're in themselves, dead in trespasses and sin. And so as much as they try to make it look good and try to do things that are good through human effort, it's still sinful. And so Jesus is going to say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, or you workers of evil, or you workers of lawlessness. That's their fruit. And these folks have never been saved, and Jesus is just going to recognize that and make the final judgment that will be an eternal judgment.
Because of their unbelief.
That's exactly right. That's the root problem, unbelief in Jesus.
And you know, these legalists, one thing I've been kind of scared for years is how these legalists will use that scripture that says, if you don't produce, those who don't produce good fruit will be cut off, using that saying that you can lose your salvation. Now, I believe that's what it's talking about when Jesus was saying, like these people were never saved in the first place. And they weren't producing good fruits because they weren't saved. And Jesus said, depart from me. You know, they're being cut off. It's not the fact that you know, we have to give up and do something in order to stay saved, or he's going to cut us off. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's
how they would take that out of context and scare people.
Yes, that's exactly right. We have to realize that what Christ did, he did eternally. So his sacrifice is an eternal sacrifice. The life that he has is eternal. It is indestructible. When we come to him by faith, we receive his life. And so we're secured by the power of an indestructible life, as Hebrews 7 speaks of. And so because we have his life, we know that when he appears, we are going to appear with him in glory. He is the guarantor of this new covenant. He's the guarantor of our salvation. And we know that when he saves us, he has saved us completely, and forever. And that's the good news.
That's right.
Yeah.
Duran,
on the good tree and bad tree thing, it might help. Think of it in terms of identity. If you're a good tree, it's because you belong to Jesus. You are a child of the living God. If you're a bad tree, it means you don't belong to Jesus. You're not a child of the living God. Therefore, you cannot lose what you don't have. And you cannot you cannot have taken away from you what God has declared you to be. We don't have that power.
Right. And I tell you, a couple of days ago, it just came to mind. A light bulb popped in my head, and I never looked at those scriptures like that before. It's amazing, isn't it? I'll tell you the truth.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Thank y'all.
You are so welcome, Duran. Thanks for your call, and always love the questions you bring to the table for us. So thank you, my friend, and let us know how you do in teaching that in a couple of weeks. By the way, Duran, I'll be back in Temple on January the 21st, so looking forward to that.
Good. Glad to see you again.
Yes.
Well, we indeed love hearing from all of our listeners, and if you have a question you'd like to join the conversation, you can do that at 844-322-2742. If we're not on the air at the time you call, just leave a message. We'd like to hear the question in your own voice. Again, 844-322-2742. Had an email from Mike, a question about walking by faith. He says, I recently heard you talking about this, that if you walk by faith, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. My question is, how does someone actually walk by faith, and what does that look like day to day? That's an email from Mike.
Well, that's a good question. Faith is something that's tied to Jesus. So there's really no faith apart from Jesus Christ. It's just a deflated balloon.
Yeah.
So with Jesus, there's substance to it. There's something of meaning to it. So we can't really talk about faith apart from Jesus Christ. As the writer of Hebrews said in chapter 12 of his letter, that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. So what it means to walk by faith is to, one, rest in Jesus Christ. I think that's the first aspect of this life of faith in Jesus, is resting in what he's accomplished for us. Now, that takes a lot of time for many people to figure out what rest is all about. It took me a long time to figure that out. I wasn't resting in the finished work of Christ. And so I was doing what the Galatians were doing. I was trying to perfect myself through human effort. Well, I got weary, I got tired, I got blistered, I got worn out, I got all of those things because I was working for things that I already had in Jesus. So what are those things that I already had in Jesus? One, forgiveness. When Christ said it's finished, that's exactly what he meant, that the sin issue had been dealt with once and for all. And so Paul wrote in Ephesians 1:7 that in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We see Luke writing in Acts 10 and later on in the book of Acts that anyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins. We see John writing in his first letter, I write to you, little children, that your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. So we're forgiven. Our sins are forgiven, all of them, past, present, and future. So when that truth really hits these minds of ours, guess what happens? We rest. How do we know we're resting? We start to say thanks to Jesus for the life that he shed on our behalf to secure our forgiveness of sins. So we rest in the finished work of Jesus as far as our forgiveness is concerned. Oftentimes we try to make a name for ourselves. We want to be a somebody in the kingdom. And so we're working hard to secure that identity. And folks, we just need to rest in the identity that Jesus has given us. If you've received Jesus, you're a brand new creature in Christ. You have a new identity, and that identity is child of God. So that's what it looks like, first and foremost, is to rest in the finished work of Christ. And the second thing that we need to realize is that Christ is alive, living in us, that we don't have to battle the temptations of this world, the desires of the flesh, through human effort. We can trust him. He's already won the battle. He defeated sin and death. That was a glorious moment. And so we can trust him to live victoriously through us as we rely on him, abide in him to live his life through us. So that's what it looks like to walk by faith. Yeah. And as the scripture says, when you walk in the Spirit or walk by faith, you won't gratify the desires of the flesh.
Right.
That's a great result, isn't it?
It is indeed. And Mike, thank you for your question. We appreciate hearing from you and all of those of you who write to or call to pose a question to us at Basic Gospel. And friends, as we've said earlier, we've been very encouraged at the support that we've received this year, but we still have a long way to go before the end of the year to meet that need of $157,000. But we also know that God, working through you, his people, our Basic Gospel listeners, can and will make that happen. So today, if you can, please go online to basicgospel.net and just click donate or call 844-322-2742 and make your Christmas gift through Basic Gospel. And when you do, you'll receive a copy of our new book called When God Tore the Curtain. Again, that's donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Or 844-322-2742. Well, thanks for joining us for this edition, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you and have a great weekend of the Lord Jesus Christ. See you on Monday. Bye-bye.